Forbidden Panel welcomes you to Panelcast, Forbidden Panel's weekly podcast featuring movie and comic news and reviews. And now, your hosts, AJ and Brian.
Hey everyone, this is Brian and welcome to the Panelcast.
Hey, this is AJ and welcome to episode 83.
In this episode, as usual, we'll be catching up on the news from the past week.
While I will be reviewing the sixth gun from Oni Press as well as the newest incarnation of the Thunderbolts.
So stay tuned and we'll return after the break on what promises to be a shorter show. Hey, this is Brian of the Forbidden Panel Podcast. I just want to invite you to listen to my companion podcast, The Geek Girls, featuring one-on-one interviews with geeky ladies. Look for Geek Girls on ForbiddenPanel.com.
And welcome back to Panelcast, everybody. So this week, this part of the show, we'll go over all the news and stuff that happened in the past week. Now, due to, Osama getting shot and all the other stuff that's been happening out in the world, it's been kind of a slow news week. But Brian and I did a lot of digging. We managed to find up some stuff. So, Brian, why don't you go ahead and take it for us?
All right, well, why don't we start with the whole Osama thing anyway, since I have one story that's actually kind of related to that. Apparently, Savage Dragon number 145 has seen a resurgence in sales after the announcement of Osama bin Laden's death. For anybody out there that doesn't know, Savage Dragon number 145 features a cover illustration showing Obama punching Osama in the face while holding an American flag. So it's been going. Apparently, there's been a few copies that have sold up to $250. So there's your timely news story.
Wow, you sure did manage to work that in smoothly. ratings for HBO's new big budget series are heading the way the network is hoping, which is upwards. Game of Thrones has been reported that after the first two episodes held steady at 2.2 million viewers for their first airing at 9 p.m., their third episode climbed slightly to 2.4 million viewers. Meanwhile, figures are in from all of HBO's various platforms online, on demand, etc. for the series premiere episode, and a total viewership sitting at 8.7 million viewers. Now, Brian, I don't know if you're watching the series at all, but I am, and I'm loving it.
Yes.
Again, having not read any of the books, and I know nothing about it other than to not invest too much into a character, I'm really digging this show. And the more and more I see of Jason Momoa's character, the more and more faith I have into the Conan remake that he's starring in. Because that man got massive and huge, and he just looks like a barbarian. I mean, he just, I have absolute faith in it now, as far as his portrayal goes in the show.
Well, speaking as a fan of the books, I have to say that I'm getting everything that I wanted out of this TV series. I mean, I was really worried that they were going to end up portraying characters wrong, or, there was just going to be something that just was going to be off about it. And, they're leaving stuff out, but I expected that because, these are massive books, and even doing a TV series, there's stuff you got to leave out.
Right. Especially,
it doesn't translate.
Yeah, my understanding from some of the people I've been talking to, they left out a lot of the direwolf stories, backgrounds or storylines or what have you with them, and then they're just rearranging a lot of the stories that's going on too. But I think they're just placing them in an order so that you can follow them easier, as far as what the audience is doing. Yeah, being able to understand.
Yeah, the changes that they're making make sense for the TV show, and they're sticking to all of the core stories, and the storylines haven't changed. They've just kind of glossed over some of the details, I think, that they had to in order to make the pace of the show work better. So, especially, I think the biggest thing that I'm happy about is just all the casting choices that they've made so far have just all worked out perfectly.
Right, and I'm very interested in seeing how these actors, these characters are going to evolve and eventually grow with the roles, because I know it's like a 7-book series, and they're going to do a season per series. So these actors are going to just grow older into the roles that they're supposed to be portraying, and I'm very excited to see that. But anyway, I think we're flying off the point. We should get back to the news.
Right.
So what else you got?
So, San Francisco is going to be having its first ever Latino-based comic convention. It's being put together by Ricardo Padilla, and let's see. It's going to be held from May 7th to May 8th, so it's over this weekend. If anybody out there is listening and is in or near the San Francisco Bay Area, then I would urge you to go to the Cartoon Art Museum in the downtown and check it out.
That's only, of course, if you can't make it down here to Free Comic Book Day. Otherwise, then you should go do that. Anthony Mackie, actor from The Hurt Locker and Adjustment Bureau, has just scored and offered to star with Brad Pitt in World War Z. And as, yeah, so that's just an update on what he's starring. He's also currently filming Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Is that based off of a comic or just something that they came up with?
I have no clue, but the title sounds awesome.
That sounds like a maybe to me. That one, it could be, can't be fantastic or it could just be can't be awful.
No, it's gonna be fantastic. It looks like it's a novel, actually, written by Seth Graham Smith.
Yeah, it's the same guy that did
Yeah,
the.
Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Go, Abraham Lincoln.
Apparently, there's still an ongoing debate about the casting of Idris Elba in the new Thor movie. And I thought that this whole thing had kind of died out a while ago, but apparently it's still going on. People are still complaining about the fact that they cast a black actor to play one of the Norse gods.
That's fucking retarded. You guys need to get over it. Nobody gave a shit about when Jake Gyllenhaal starred as the Prince of Persia.
Right. That's just the thing. And if you're really going to start nitpicking about, oh, well, he's black, he can't be Norse, how many of the other characters that are in this movie are actually Norse?
Right.
This is a, I'm sorry, people, but it's a fictional movie and.
Based off a comic book.
Yes. I don't understand, and the arguments that people are making are just so completely outlandish. And people are saying that it's an attack on white culture, and I'm considering the fact that one, this is based off of a Marvel comic, which
Changes
but
everybody's
anybody,
faces by just by farting.
yeah,
Like remember when
you know
Nick
the.
Fury was white?
You know, there's a lot of that going on. Plus the fact that, I mean, come on, Stan Lee is one of the most outspoken liberal people out there. So this kind of stuff happens. I mean, if you're that worried about attacks on white culture, what are you doing reading Marvel comics?
Right. Though Stan Lee really isn't tied with Marvel Comics too much anymore, just FYI.
Well, yeah, not anymore. But,
And everybody that I've talked to that has seen any pre-screenings or what have you of Thor says that Idris Elba does a phenomenal job playing the character. So I don't know what the issue is.
yeah, that's the thing is, why can't I
Open
don't
your
know.
mind. If you walk into this movie first off and you're so closed-minded that everything has to be right, guess what? You're opening yourself up for a world of disappointment. As we were discussing a few seconds ago with Game of Thrones, I'm pretty sure they're not nailing every single aspect down of the book all over the place. But you know what? You kind of got to understand that it translates that way into a film, or maybe it just flows a little bit better. Idris Elba playing Heimdall in the Thor movie, sure, he's not white. Sure, he can't. It doesn't really fit into Norse mythology. But, back in those days, people, they were called nomads wandering around. Shit happens, Fucking inbred. That's how we got Moors, So, get over it, dude.
Even just beyond that, I mean, I think
They're
we really kind of
gods.
nailed the
They
point
can change the
that
race whenever they want.
it's a comic.
Right, it's a comic book and a movie. Deal with it. It's not an actual rendering of something that really happened back in the past. Okay, this isn't like we were saying, Abraham Lincoln. This isn't his life story. This isn't the life story of Heimdall, who really was a person in the past. No, it's a fictional character, and based on Norse mythology and recreated for comic books. So they're gonna take some liberties with that, people.
You know, there wasn't this much flack when they had Brad Pitt in the Troy movie, so,
There wasn't
you
this much
know.
flack when Samuel Jackson took on the role of Nick Fury.
Yeah. So I can't understand why there's still so much controversy over this one casting.
They just want to be angry. That's just all there is to it. Anyway, moving on. Speaking about comic book movies, Avengers script recently has been leaked online. Controversy swirled behind the scenes of the online film blogger world late last week when Samuel Jackson's personal copy of the shooting script for the Avengers was stolen and then offered to various sites for sale. None of those sites bid onto that. Due to said leak, certain script pages, which have already shown up in photos online and been rewritten, reports Fan Film Review, the most notable scene involved Bruce Banner hulking out while Iron Man and Captain America are caught in a giant boiler room. Said scene is being axed. Shooting has only just gotten underway in Albuquerque, New Mexico, though the theft actually took place in Burbank last week when the actor was in town. Due to the rewrites, along with what is said to be other reasons, the production is rumored to now be on indefinite hold, though further reports since then have called this into question. Syndication has gotten notice from several people on the set who claim they have received no notification of production breach or break and will be reporting to their jobs at the next call. Since then, a Disney publicist has confirmed that reports of a delay are not true. So basically what happened was Samuel Jackson was kicking it somewhere in Burbank and got his ass ripped off. And they stole the script for the Avengers movie. Because of that, there were so many people freaking out that they thought that they were going to halt production on the film. But, and I got to give kudos to the news sites, when the script was shopped around by this guy, whoever stole it, saying, hey, give me, you know, such and such amount of money, and I'll give you the script so you can review it first, everybody said no. So, kudos to them for actually, you know, stepping up for it. And shame on the guy that stole it. I mean, now you know what the Avengers is going to be like. Hopefully you get to ruin it for yourself and your entire family, and fuck off. So.
Well, something tells me that the person that stole it probably doesn't have any kids or anything. That, you know, it's probably just some... whatever.
You know, it happened. Whatever the reason, whoever it is, the bottom line is you tried to make a profit off of it and you failed. And in the process, you're now admitting that you stole this script. So I'm sure you're going to get into some sort of trouble.
All right, well, why don't we go ahead and take a quick break and then we'll be right back.
But I don't want to.
Do you have dreams of world domination? You ever wanted to take on those pesky G.I. Joe jerk-offs, but really didn't know how to do that? Visit www.cobrathirdnightwatch.com. This is Major Boca of Cobra asking you, telling you, to go to www.cobrathirdnightwatch.com. That's Cobra3RDNightwatch.com.
Hello, and welcome back to the Panelcast.
Yeah, never do that again.
Okay. So yeah, we're going to continue on with the news. Brian, take it over.
Well, it looks like there's some talk that Fox may not decide to pick up the Lock and Key pilot, saying that they're not really interested in continuing with any more sci-fi themed programming.
Why? They're kicking ass with Fringe.
This is true, and I haven't really been able to pinpoint any exact proof that Fox is not going to pick it up, but there's a lot of speculation going on right now. So as soon as we can find out exactly where this information is coming from, I guess we can probably put an update on that.
You know what? I wouldn't worry too much about it. FX will pick it up and make it a better show.
That's true. Yeah, I'm sure if Fox doesn't pick it up, somebody else will.
Yeah. Meanwhile, out doing press for Thor this week, Marvel Films co-chief Kevin Feige says his company will officially announce its post-Avengers plans at the end of the summer. Feige has already been talking about the spin-off films centering on Black Widow, Scarlett Johansson, Hawkeye, and the S.H.I.E.L.D. organization. There's no definite plans, but we have started talking with Scarlett about the Black Widow movie could be. Internally, we've also started thinking what a Hawkeye movie could be. How we could continue to explore the organization which Samuel Jackson's Nick Fury S.H.I.E.L.D. leads, he says. He goes on to say, it all goes back to the comics. Sometimes the answer is
when looking at a certain run of issues? No way. And sometimes the answer is maybe. Let's continue to explore it. And certainly with Hawkeye and Black Widow, those two are what we're exploring. Feige has previously mentioned possibilities like Doctor Strange, Black Panther, and Edgar Wright's Ant-Man, and Black and Panther, in particular, getting some recent work of some kind. Now, if you're familiar with Black Widow and Hawkeye and what have you, especially recently in the Ultimate storylines, it'd be a good idea to maybe combine both stories into one, since they both kind of work for S.H.I.E.L.D. anyway. So, and honestly, it doesn't matter to me so long as I get to see Scarlett Johansson in that outfit once again.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It just, as long as it's a vehicle for 2 hours of Scarlett Johansson in tight leather, I'm there.
Right. Not a problem.
Well, it looks like legendary vaporware video game Duke Nukem is going to be coming to comics this July. IDW is going to be releasing a 4-issue set called Duke Nukem Glorious Bastard that's supposed to be written by IDW editor Tom Waltz. So, for everybody out there that's been waiting since 1997 for this new Duke Nukem game to come out, you might want to get your hands on the comic, because there's still a chance that this is the only way you're ever going to get your Duke Nukem fix.
I got nothing to say. So, for the last few days, Lucasfilm has had a teaser site which indicated an announcement of the details of their upcoming Blu-ray sets for the Star Wars films. It should have been hitting today, May 4th, at 6 a.m. The details were released, but the site obviously underestimated the interest factor for the sets, as within a few minutes, it crashed, the teaser site redirecting to foxmovies.com. Still, before the announcement went tits up, the key information was collected so we can get to the point and review some of the important stuff that they release. First, only the special edition versions of the original saga will you get to see Greedo shoot first in high def. The 2004 DVD box set made further changes from the first special editions in 1997. Best bet is the 2004 version is what will be used, though we don't know until the first reviews come up. All the films are in 1080p and with 6.1 DTS surround sound. Now, there are three different versions of this coming out. A 3-disc prequel trilogy set, a 3-disc original trilogy set, and a 9-disc complete saga set. The latter includes both the aforementioned 3-disc set combined with another 3-disc of special features. I'm looking at the cover for this right now. It looks awesome, but I don't know.
Considering George Lucas's recent track record, he's going to end up in 6 months re-releasing the Blu-ray sets again with a bunch of special features and stuff added, and then again with even more special features added. I mean,
right.
How many times did it get released on tape and then on DVD?
And it's not like Lucas is poor. I mean, he runs Lucasfilm Limited. I mean, they do special effects and lighting and stuff, Skywalker sound,
Mm-hmm.
It's not like he's, broke or hurting for money.
No, and then he's going
to
do...
I think every now and then he just wants to be like, hey, remember me? I'm still here. I still have Star Wars,
There's people out there that their whole lives are dedicated to Star Wars. I don't think anybody's going to forget George Lucas anytime soon, so...
Yeah, and admittingly, having all the movies on disc, on Blu-ray, 1080p, I have to admit, it's kind of alluring to me.
It's tempting, but at the same time, I would want to be able to have the original trilogy in the unedited format, the original format, not the new special edition formats. And I don't see that happening.
Right. It keeps changing so much. Like originally, the original Star Wars film, by the time they're done with it, you'd be lucky if you see Mark Hamill and Harrison Ford in it anymore. It's going to be so heavily edited and changed.
I imagine what's going to happen is eventually they're going to end up perfecting stem cell technology, and then George Lucas is just going to clone all of the actors so that they have younger versions and just keep using the clones to redo it. And then eventually he's going to build a clone army and actually stage a clone war.
Right. This is George Lucas we're talking about. For all we know, he already has perfected stem cell research or paid for somebody to do it.
He's got enough money to do it.
Yeah. So. Stupid. And plus, you know, okay, so we all know that Blu-ray is the new big shit, right? Just like DVDs were, just like VHS was, and Beta was. So the problem with this is that if you purchase the Blu-ray versions of it in 1080p, in the next 3 years, holographic discs will be coming out, which are burned on an orange laser, which means the disc can contain more information. So that means, you know, we'll be getting it in a different format at that point. So, in case, for those that don't know, like, you know, DVDs are burned on red light. Blu-ray discs are burned on blue light, which means they can contain 25 gigs worth of data on each disc, and holographic will make it so that you can contain 500 gigs on each disc, which is burned with an orange laser. So, yeah, once all that stuff comes out, it's going to be, we're just going to have to buy the whole set all over again.
Yeah, I'm sure it is, and every time there's some new format coming out, we'll have to buy it all over again.
It's like Tommy Lee Jones says, I'm going to have to buy the Beatles White Album all over again.
There's a interesting story here that I actually first came across this on Twitter and decided to follow up on it. But apparently, some Minnesota politician by the name of Matt Dean has decided to call out Neil Gaiman, specifically calling him a pencil-necked little weasel that stole $45,000 from the state of Minnesota. The guess is this is in response to some sort of Republican majority House meeting to discuss the state budget of Minnesota. And I guess Neil Gaiman had done a guest speaking position thing at Stillwater Public Library about a year ago, and was paid $45,000 to do this. And this is, I guess, what it ended up sparking the whole comment thing. So I thought that was kind of a little bit strange.
First off, Neil Gaiman didn't steal the $45,000 off you. You were stupid enough to pay $45,000 for him to show up. So, who's really the idiot here?
There's a lot of different things that could be said about this, and I just think it's kind of strange that Neil Gaiman specifically is being called out.
Right, because I'm sure they spent a lot of retarded money on other things.
Yeah. So I mean, especially if you want to take into consideration, you know, the number of high profile people that go around and do talks and tours and, you know, book signing things and stuff like that, they get paid larger sums of money than $45,000.
Right.
You know, a lot of times these things can reach into, you know, the half a millions. So,
from a state that had Jesse the Body Ventura run it for a while, I don't want to hear it. Of course, we have no room to talk. Arnold Schwarzenegger was our boss for a long time. Moving on. Scott Mann has been hired to direct a $60 million remake of Akira Kurosawa's 1954 classic The Seven Samurai for the Weinstein Company. Considered one of the greatest movies ever made, the original classic dealt with a village of farmers who hire seven masterless samurais, Ronin, to combat bandits who will return after the harvest to steal their crops. Dark Horizon is reporting that the new version of the story centers on a small contemporary village in northern Thailand, which recruits seven paramilitary mercenaries from around the world to help defend the town from an upcoming attack. John Fusco and Scott Mann are developing the script while Kira's son, Hisoa Kurosawa, will executive produce. Shooting aims to kick off sometime this year. This is hardly the first remake of the property. Less than 5 years ago, after the original, John Sturges took the story and adapted it to an American Old West setting and resulted in The Magnificent Seven. So, there you have it. More raping of my past.
Yeah, I guess it really depends on how they do it. It could end up being good.
They basically describe the whole plot line behind Stallone's movie that came out last year.
Which one was that?
I can't remember the name. Why can't I? I'm blanking.
The new Rambo movie, or?
No, the Expendables.
Oh. Yeah, I forgot that movie about 5 minutes after watching it.
What? That movie's awesome.
I remember lots of things and body parts exploding, but I couldn't tell you what the actual movie was about.
You need to watch the documentary they did on the movie. They did a great documentary on it where it shows Sylvester Stallone just going, you know, like... And I don't mean this in a bad way, but he drove himself to the brink of insanity just trying to get this movie made. Just with the wear and tear he did on his mind and his body. He broke a lot of bones and suffered a lot of injuries during the filming of this movie and would just pop right back up and go, okay, let's do it again.
Jesus.
You know, so... You know, I have to give him credit. The man, like, wanted his dream to come true, and he busted his ass to make it happen.
What I have to say that I find interesting about that film is the fact that Jean-Claude Van Damme turned down a role in it because he felt that it wasn't a movie of any substance.
No, he turned down the role in the sequel.
In the sequel?
Yeah, they're making a sequel. And they were trying to boost up more with more other action heroes such as him, Steven Seagal, and a couple other, even now with Arnold Schwarzenegger being out of the picture, trying to involve him more as well as Bruce Willis. And,
Are they going to try to bring Chuck Norris back too?
If they do, they might as well just call it Chuck Norris. And that would be the name of the movie.
You know, a lot more people would go see it if they did that since the internet worships him.
Yes. But once again, we're straying off point of the news segment. So I believe you have another story.
Yeah. And this one is another personal story for me. Just found out that Sony also suspended their Sony Online Entertainment system following the PlayStation Network hack. Only when it turns out, and I got an email about this one too from Sony, that the Sony Online Entertainment system was taken down because that had also been hacked, actually previous to the PlayStation Network hack. So twice did hackers get a hold of all of my personal information from Sony.
And still nobody wants it.
Well, I probably why I started getting all those weird mailings in lately. Strange emails.
You know, here's the thing is, once you hack into a network, and speaking as somebody that works with computers all the time, once you hack into a secured system, you basically know the back door. Even if they shut the back door, you already know how to get that far. You just change it around. You know, so they're probably just milking it for what it is. And from my understanding, they found some sort of text or some script in there that stated that it was from Anonymous.
Yeah, well...
We Are Legion, I believe, is what they had posted in there.
From what I understand, the information that I've been able to gather from the news stories and from the actual email that Sony sent to me, Anonymous is responsible for the Sony Online Entertainment hack. But Anonymous is still claiming that they're not responsible for the PlayStation Network hack. Whether that turns out to be true or not, who knows? I mean, they could have done both, or it could have been people related to Anonymous that did both, or it could have been two separate incidents. But either way, some motherfuckers have stolen my information twice.
Right. In fact, right now, PC Magazine is reporting that in response to the congressional inquiry, Sony on Wednesday released more information about the hack that has disrupted its PlayStation Network since April 20th. Among the details revealed by Sony was the fact that one of its servers had a file called Anonymous. Inside that file, it stated, "We are Legion." They had planted it on the server itself. So, yeah. Anonymous, you know, has said that, you know, released a press release stating that they were denied any involvement in the PSN hack or any of that other stuff. So, I think, who knows? But the bottom line is... Bottom line is, once they got in to Sony, it just went crazy.
Right. And I guess ultimately it doesn't really matter whether Anonymous was responsible or not, because it still happened and millions of people were still affected by this, even if they don't see it immediately. I mean, somebody's got your personal information now.
Right. And what I find funny is previously when Sony had announced that it had been hacked or what have you, Anonymous was the first group to say that we had nothing to do with it. However, since the congressional inquiry, Anonymous has yet to post on any of their websites, their Twitter, their Facebook, or anything like that. They've been silent since that has happened. So who knows what's happening. What I do find disturbing, though, is that the PlayStation Network was promised to have been back online today, being May 4th. And it's now 3 p.m. my time. Brian, it's 6 p.m. your time. And I'm looking at my PS3, and yeah, I still can't get in. So obviously, the problems are going deeper than it already has been.
Right.
Again, point fingers all day long. That's fine. But at the end of the day, I don't care whose fault it was or what happened. All I care about is that it doesn't happen again and I get my PlayStation Network back up. Because at this rate, it's been so long since I played Call of Duty, I may have forgotten how to play.
Yeah, it's definitely a shitty thing because ultimately, when it comes down to it, it's the customers that are suffering.
Right. And PlayStation has announced that they will give 1 month free to PlayStation Plus users, as well as a whole bunch of other different things that they're willing to offer. More importantly, they are willing to help out in any way, shape, or form should your information have been compromised, and help you retain that information or fight back or save yourself from it. So at least they're taking that step, you know. But they told the subcommittee that in dealing with the cyber attack, they follow the following key four procedures, principles. Act with care and caution. Provide relevant information to the public when it has been verified. Take responsibility for obligations to the customers and work with law enforcement authorities. They also informed the subcommittee of the following. Sony has been the victim of a very carefully planned, very professional, highly sophisticated criminal cyber attack. They discovered that the intruders had planted a file on one of the Sony online entertainment servers named Anonymous, and by April 25th, forensic teams were able to confirm the scope of the personal data they had believed had been taken and could not rule out whether credit card information had been accessed. On April 26th, they notified customers of those facts. As of today, the major card companies have not reported any fraudulent transaction that they believe are the direct result of the cyber attack. Protecting individuals' personal data is highest priority, and assuring that the internet can be made secure for commerce is also essential. Worldwide countries and businessmen will have to come together to ensure the safety of commerce over the internet and find ways to combat cybercrime and cyberterrorism. They are also taking a number of steps to prevent future breaches, including enhanced levels of data protection and encryption, enhanced ability to detect software intrusions, unauthorized access and unusual activity patterns, additional firewalls, establishment of a new data center in an undisclosed location with increased security, and the naming of a new chief information security officer. That motherfucker got fired.
Yeah.
They told the subcommittee of their intent to offer a complimentary identity theft protection to U.S. account holders and detailed the Welcome Back program that includes free downloads, 30 days of free membership in the PlayStation Plus premium subscription service, 30 days of free service for the Music Unlimited subscribers, and extending the PlayStation Plus and Music Unlimited subscriptions for the number of days services were unavailable. They're working around the clock to have some PlayStation Network services restored and will be providing specific details shortly. They hope that the update has been helpful for you, and they will continue to keep us posted as they work to restore the network and provide us with the entertainment and security we deserve. That seems very sugar-coated to me, in my opinion. I would like to hear,
It definitely sounds like they're trying to downplay, you know, the severity of what happened.
Right.
Because when the news of this first came out, they were saying, oh, well, we had to take PlayStation Network down because we found some people got in a back door and were getting free points or whatever it was that they were doing. And then it turns out, well, they weren't just getting free points. They'd actually gotten in and were stealing people's information. And then it turns out, oh, guess what? We found out that somebody got into Sony Online Entertainment Network as well. And so it just seems, yeah. I mean, but this is the same thing that happens whenever some sort of, you know, major scandal happens with the company. They always try to downplay it as much as they can and try to make it seem like, oh, well, you know, yeah, some bad things happen, but I mean, it's not really that big of a deal. We've got it under control. And
right.
Yeah.
That's their job, though.
I understand that they want to, you know, they want to try to calm everyone's fears, that they want to try to downplay and damage control as much as possible. But at this point, I'm no longer willing to trust Sony and the things that they have to say. When it first happened, and I thought that it was just the PlayStation Network going down because they were trying to plug up a few holes, that would have been fine. That would have been understandable. You know, I only have a PSP that I use to go on it, so it's not that big of a deal.
Right.
But now, just with the magnitude of everything that's happening, and they're still trying to downplay it, oh, I'm sorry, Sony, I don't trust you.
Well, you know, I mean, you're going to do it. You can feel the way you feel. And I'm not saying that I'm walking into Sony's I'm walking me back Sony with open arms or anything like that. I mean, they misinformed us, but at the same time, I can understand why they did, because, I mean, technically, they were just, you know, I don't know, it's fire control at that point. But that doesn't mean I forgive them for that. But I also know where to place my anger at, and that is the hackers who originally caused this problem. You know, for whatever selfish right. reasons they did this, they caused 77 million people to be compromised. And that's just not right, in my opinion. You know, so I think they need to call in that U.S. Navy SEAL team and have them find fucking these hackers and take care of them appropriately.
SEAL Team 6 fixing everything.
Yep. I mean, get to work, bitches. So, well, anyway, that does all everything. That's all we got for the news and opinionated section of this recording. So we'll go ahead and take a quick break. And when we come back, I will be throwing some reviews out at you guys. So be right back.
Hi, this is Justin White of Necrosapien Press and artist of ZKS, the Zombie Kill Squad, and you should come check out ForbiddenPanel.com for all your latest geek needs.
And we're back.
Yay!
Alright, so we're going to do a few reviews now, and somehow I ended up realizing that the entire week passed and I hadn't actually read anything, so I'm going to have to turn this one over to you, AJ.
That's because you suck.
Okay, well, nobody was arguing with you there, so I guess no.
That's why I allowed that silence to flow. As we stated in the last episode, we like to leave Brian's uncomfortable silences unedited, so...
Yeah, it was wonderful. Maybe I should take over editing so I can cut all those out.
Yeah, that's why I do the editing, so that I can't cut all those ones out. Power. Anyway, so this week, I've actually spent a lot of time reading. Thankfully, my job this week, as taxing and crazy as it was, allowed me a lot of time to just sit at the desk and supervise, so... I was able to get a lot of reading done, and some of that reading actually turned out to be stuff that I had never read before. I took that chance and went with it. The first one that I hadn't read before, actually there's only one book I'll be reviewing that I didn't read previously, and that is The Sixth Gun, put out by Ani Press. It is written by Cullen Bunn and Brian Hurt. You know, the names are getting weirder and weirder every time we do this show.
Hey, Brian Hurt was a pretty easy one.
It's spelled H-U-R-T-T.
Hmm. Well, hopefully we got it close enough.
Yeah, hopefully. Unless it's Hurt. In that case, I'm sorry I mispronounced your name. The Sixth Gun is basically a story set in the Western times. And what it's based on is there are these six guns that are out in the world, and each one of them have a particular power. One of them allows you to see oncoming and future events. Another one allows you to shoot, set your victims on fire. Another one raises the dead of the people who, the souls of the people of which you've shot with that gun previously. So anybody you've killed, you can raise an army of them and control them. As well as other various powers that these guns possess. These guns are also bound by blood, so the minute that the owner is killed, whoever picks up the gun afterwards is the only one that can wield that gun. Anybody else that tries to is immediately burned by that gun and eventually has their life taken from them. So, and it's revealed that these guns haven't only existed in this incarnation. Previous weapons such as this would have been in the Knights of the Round Table, the swords that they all possessed. They even allude to, like, the rings from Lord of the Rings, stuff like that, that, you know.
Right.
These guns have taken shape, different shapes throughout time, and in this time period now possesses the,
the shape of guns. So, the Sixth Gun is basically a story about how evil men are in pursuit of the sixth gun. They have all five guns and they're chasing after the sixth one. And, and you go from there. This series is, it's good. I'm not a big fan of Westerns in book form. I love them in films. But, you know, in book form, they really don't come off too well. But in this instance, I really dug it. It's a great blend of American Western storytelling as well as fantasy and folklore, witchcraft, voodoo, stuff like that. And it takes you onto another plane of existence and a different type of reality of which that's different from the West of which we knew. Currently, it's on the 11th. Yeah, 11th issue, which would be the second storyline that's contained within it. If you haven't had a chance, please pick it up. Oni Press has done a great job of impressing me in the past few years with titles such as Wasteland, Whiteout, Stumptown, Resurrection, Queen and Country, books such as that. They even put out the very unimpressive Jay and Silent Bob comic books and local. So, you know, they've done a great job in putting out all these wonderful books that, you know, I initially, when I heard about Oni Press, I had no opinion of them either way. I thought maybe they were just another one of those Japanese manga type publishers, you know. Mm-hmm. But apparently they're not. They're people just like you and I, Brian, who the company was founded by two guys with whose goal was publishing the kinds of comics and graphic novels that they themselves would want to read, as they were unsatisfied with material that was dominating the industry. They had firmly believed that sequential art could be used to tell virtually any story. And that's kind of what Forbidden Panel is all about. We believe in the same type of model. You know, so, and they've done a great job, as I said, of changing my opinion on them. So, The Sixth Gun is their most recent book. Please pick it up and check it out. I really dig it, Brian, and I really think you'd be one to like it as well.
Yeah, it sounds like an interesting story, and it actually, from the description of it, it sounds almost like it kind of reminds me of the, what are the stories called? Fred Saberhagen, the Book of Swords.
Yes.
I don't know if you've read any of the fantasy series, but it definitely has a sound kind of like that, with like these mystical weapons that have different properties and, you know, or these sort of legendary weapons that a whole bunch of people are trying to track down to take control of.
Right, and that's the case with this one, in that the only time that you're not able to use the powers of the weapon is if you're not holding it or if you're nowhere near it. That's how
right. The
possessors are killed in that manner. It's awesome. And another point of these six guns is that when they're combined onto a certain gate, you know, they show this gate made out of pure silver with the outlines of all the guns, and when you lay them down, they're supposed to open this doorway. What's contained behind the doorway is still a mystery and has yet to be revealed in the story, but that's one of the goals of all these people, is to collect all six guns, have all these powers and immortality, and open that gateway, because to them, they believe it contains riches beyond their belief. But we all know that that is never the case. With each treasure hunt, there's death and misery that accompanies it.
You always end up finding something that you weren't expecting.
Right, there's always a catch.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, well, it definitely does sound like a series I'd be interested in, and now I have an idea for something to read.
Yeah, see, there you go. I want to hear about it next week on the next episode.
We'll see.
The other series that has really been impressing me lately is one that's been out for a few years now. As I've stated before, I really hate Marvel. I can't stand some of the things they do, and I really am more mad at the hook they have on me. More like, you know, Robert Kirkman. We curse his name, but because he's gotten us back into monthly comic books and making us go to the comic book store on a monthly basis to pick up the new titles that he's writing. Same in the way of Marvel comic books. While there are storylines in comic books and characters seem to be repeating the same mistakes over and over and over and over and over again. Now, some titles that they contain still impress me, and I still want to read. Last week, I reviewed X-23, which it is technically a new title, which I'm very thoroughly enjoying. And this week, I have been reading Thunderbolts. I've read Thunderbolts before, and I always thought it was an awesome idea because originally the Thunderbolts comic book started off with Baron Zemo, who is Captain America's mortal enemy, thinking that, hey, why don't we grab a group of villains, get them together, disguise ourselves as heroes, and fuck everything up in the background.
That's what I would do.
Right. Since then, the team has taken on many different incarnations and many different storylines has happened with them. Most recently, though, I believe I had talked about this on a previous panel cast, was during a Dark Reign, when Norman Osborn was getting control of almost every power in the U.S. and also ran the Thunderbolts and made them his basic assassin team at that point. Since then, he's been uprooted, and a new age of Marvel has come out called the Heroic Age, which has spawned all these little titles, different titles of stuff coming out. This new incarnation of Thunderbolts contains characters such as Ghost, Moonstone, Juggernaut, Crossbones, who is the guy, the assassin of Steve Rogers, Captain America, and Man-Thing, as well as U.S. Agent. Now, I know you're probably thinking, like, well, these sound like second-rate people, you know. But this book is fucking awesome. I have to give it up, because it's this incarnation of the Thunderbolts shows that Luke Cage, who is Power Man, is now running this group. And what they do is they have a prison called the Raft. And he visits the Raft and chooses all these different prisoners, which whom have some sort of powers, and says, hey, I'm going to recruit you into this new team, and you're going to do this. Otherwise, you're going to be stuck in your little 2x2 box for the remainder of your time, which is pretty much life. So he takes them, and he doesn't try to change them in any way. He just tries to mold them and use what evil powers they have for good, to try and make things right by taking them on the most fucked up missions ever thought of. So, yeah, and I'm really digging it. I've always been a fan of the Thunderbolts, especially once Civil War had happened and the Secret Invasion and all that storylines were going on. But now more than ever, with the Heroic Age and this style, it's gritty storylines. These people are murderers and killers, and yeah, and just to see them being forced to behave in such a manner. So, for example, they'll go out on a mission to try and save some group, and in the meantime, they're still plotting or acting out in ways that let you believe that they're still unchanged, that they're still villains. So it's nice to see that dichotomy happening within a superhero team, especially in a Marvel comic book. That, I don't know, I just really dig it, and it's one of those, yeah, you know, it's one of those Marvel comics where I'm not too ashamed to say I read.
Like, yeah. Yeah, well, a lot of Marvel Comics storylines are pretty cut and dried in terms of good versus evil characters, so it's always nice to see them kind of play around with that formula a little bit.
Right. So, and that's what they seem to be doing here, and it's, again, it's a great storyline. So if you haven't had a chance, please pick up Thunderbolts. Let us know what you think about it. Brian and I are always welcome to opinions, and especially from those that are counter-opinioning what we have to believe in. As was very evident in last week's episode, where Brian and I disagree on certain points, we like having these types of arguments with other people. It doesn't necessarily make us hate you, but I like to see other people's viewpoint and see, you know, and show them how they're wrong. So if you have any said opinions or what have you, please feel free to email us, panelcast@forbiddenpanel.com, aj@forbiddenpanel.com, or brian@forbiddenpanel.com. We're always welcome to discussion, and we may even read the email on the air or call you up and be like, yo, what's up? You're on the show. What you got to say now?
Yeah, it definitely would be nice to have somebody that's a fan of the show come on and talk comics with us.
Absolutely. That's why we started. I mean, I keep reiterating this fact. We started for Bin Panel not just because we wanted to read and create different comic books other than what we were currently reading, but because we wanted to open up an entire neighborhood, an entire family, a group of people that had of similar minds, likes and interests, or contrasting opinions. You know, just give you room to talk and have fun with geeks. That's what FP's all about.
Right.
So yeah, those are the two I have. The Sixth Gun from Oni Press, as well as Thunderbolts, the Heroic Age from Marvel Comics. Both are on the shelves right now. But that's all I have for this week. Brian, you said you had nothing?
Yeah, I mean, I watched the latest Game of Thrones episode, and you know, I've watched a few the TV shows that are going Fringe and stuff like that, but I don't know. Something happened, and I had planned on reading some comics, and then I realized that it was time to record another episode, and here I am with nothing. So.
Yeah, and Fringe, in my opinion, guys, we were talking about this off air. Fringe, in my opinion, can do no wrong. I've yet to watch an episode of Fringe that I did not like.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoy the show. I mean, there's a lot of moments that are really cheesy in it, and there's a few issues that I have as far as the storyline goes. There's a few things that seem too convenient for me, but ultimately I don't care because everything that they're doing still fits within the framework of rules that they establish for the show. So,
Well, yeah, and
you know.
those things, those same problems that you have where you're saying everything's a little bit too convenient for you. I was thinking about that the same thing the other day, and that, well, I like how it just happens that Olivia was, you know, this child of doing all these powers, and now she's in the Fringe Division, and how Peter was destined to be run the Doomsday Machine or what have you. And
Yeah, it's all very Deus ex machina,
but at the
you
same
know.
time, when you look at it, that's their what they're kind of destined to do. Like when you look at the whole, well, it's her job to shut down the machine, so which allows Peter to use it properly. You know, it just gives you that feeling that maybe they were being groomed like this from the get-go, you know?
Right.
Ever since Walter made the mistake of ripping apart the universes so he can go grab another kid and do it and have a mulligan with it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're starting to explain some of the things. I'd say the only thing that I'm really worried about is that J.J. Abrams is going to pull another Lost, and the ending is going to have nothing to do with everything else that's been going on.
Right, he's going to Stephen King the end of a story.
And if that happens, I will have to kick him in the balls.
Yeah. We will no longer be fans of you, J.J. Abrams. Or at least we'll know not to watch the last season of any show you
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. So yeah, just don't pull a Lost and I'll be happy.
Or an Alias. Alias kind of did the same thing in this last season. But, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword at this point. The only reason, you know, J.J. Abrams, when he walks into a show, he only plans up to a certain point. Now, it's our fault because we as fans like the show so much that we demand more. So he has to create these new seasons that he didn't plan for originally, and that's what turns to crap at that point.
Yeah, well, at that point, I think he should just stick to his artistic integrity and say, you know what, screw you guys. I'm writing what I intended to write.
Right. I totally agree with you. We as fans also have to understand, okay, well, he says there's only five seasons in this fucking series. Cool. Let's just get down with five seasons. Lost was originally supposed to only be five seasons. Alias was only supposed to be five seasons. He shows, you know, he plans a cutoff point so that he knows and can build and create things within that series. It's when they get expanded that he has to learn to stretch things out or add new stuff in there. That's when we all get confused and it loses its quality. So we as fans have to accept his due dates as far as his series goes.
I'm perfectly willing to do that, so.
Yep, so am I. So it's everybody else's fault, is what we're saying. It's all your fault. So we're going to go ahead and take another break and we will be right back.
Hi, I'm a chick, and I read comic books and play video games, and yes, I am attractive. And whenever I need new information, I head over to Forbidden Panel and look for new geeks to seduce and
And we're back for the wrap-up of this episode. So, AJ, you got any special announcements for us?
I do. This week is a very exciting week in comicdom, in that tomorrow, oh no, sorry, Thursday night will be the midnight showing of Thor. We will all be hanging out there, everybody except for Brian, because we don't like him.
Racist not invited.
Racists are not invited, which is another reason why Brian isn't going.
Hey, wait a minute.
Okay, the real reason is Brian lives on the other side of the country, okay? That's the truth. But yeah, we'll be going to go see the midnight premiere of Thor. I will be bringing the video camera as well as the voice recorder, and conduct some interviews and what have you before and after the film. And then 2 days after that is Free Comic Book Day at Rancho Cucamonga. Well, where you will find two of our cool artists, our newest artist, Cameron Dorch, as well as Albert Carrion, artists on our new webcomic series called Security, as well as Justin and myself, sitting next to the likes of Gail Simone, Mark Waid, the guys from Semantic Publishing, Cobra Third Night Watch, the 501st, everybody you saw at the Alien Empire Comic Expo, and more, will be at the Free Comic Book Day Festival, handing out free comics. We'll be handing out free posters of our works and signing them as well. So it's a full weekend for us. It's going to be pretty awesome. Next weekend is the Weekend of Horrors put on by Fangoria. What they do, it's a convention of horror aficionados, actors and actresses and makeup artists and directors from the horror world and genre will be out there. And while Forbidden Panel doesn't have a booth, Necrosapien Press, which is Justin's baby, has a booth. So Justin and I will be out there promoting that, giving out CKS comics and what have you and paraphernalia, as well as selling some of his artwork at the convention. It is May 14th and 15th at the Anaheim Convention Center, I believe it is, or the Los Angeles Convention Center. I don't know. Check the website and you'll find out more information. But that's what's going on for us. It's a busy 2 weeks. May is always this crazy for us, but we love it because we're dorks. So, yeah. Brian, you got anything to say before we say goodbye?
No, I don't have anything else planned. So, still working on getting a few details together, but nothing exciting.
It never is when it comes to Brian. Never anything exciting.
I'm going to take a nap.
Awesome.
Maybe eat some soup.
Ramen?
No, real soup.
Oh, fancy. We also want to remind everybody that May 15th is the deadline for the ZKS pinup contest. Please make sure you get all your submissions out to us as soon as possible or before that date. The voting will happen in August, and the winner will be announced at the Alien Empire Comic Expo September 4th at the Fox Theater in Redlands, California. So it's a pretty cool prize package. You don't want to miss out on it, plus a chance for you to have your artwork published in a comic book and showcased on our websites and what have you. So please visit our websites, necrosapien.net, forbiddenpanel.com, iecomicexpo.com, zombiekillsquad.net, visit our friends, drawhard.com, forkoutfantasies.com, and Brian and I will see you next week where we will be doing episode 84 with all the interviews and pictures and stuff that we had for the upcoming weekend. So, for Brian, I'm AJ. Catch you guys next week.
Panelcast is brought to you by Forbidden Panel. Please visit us at www.forbiddenpanel.com.